Dealer fans, what's going on? This is Jeff Hartman, editor of Behind This, here with another episode of the Steelers News. If you have on YouTube, listen to the show on podcast. The Steelers News show is basically just that. I want to give you the Steelers News that's going on right now. You want to listen to ESPN Radio, you're going to hear all about the NBA Finals, the NHL Finals. Look, you don't want to hear that. You want to hear about the black and gold, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's what we're going to give you all within 20 minutes. So if you haven't checked us out on YouTube yet, please do so. BTSE Steelers Radio, subscribe, thumbs up, comment on the articles. I like to respond and have some commentary there. Also, check us out on podcast form on iTunes. Just search The Standard is the Standard. That's our platform on podcasts. And same thing, subscribe so you know always your one-stop shop behind the steelcurtain.com for all your Pittsburgh Steelers needs. Folks, we're talking about news. Everyone's talking about what OTAs know. They're talking about the uniforms, throwbacks. They were unveiled. I'm curious, all the listeners out there, all the viewers on YouTube, what were your thoughts on the throwbacks? Let me know in the comment section. What did you think? Did you think you were hoping for like the Batmans, or you know those were the ones with the gold diamonds on the chest, or were you thinking they were going to go back to the mid-90s with the Barry Foster era when they had the city crest and the vertical stripes with the brown pants? I was actually really excited when I was watching online as they unveiled the new uniforms, and Art Rooney II came out and said, "We're the 40th anniversary of Super Bowl 13. We're going to honor that team by going back to those uniforms." That means no logo on the chest, just the block numbers, block letters on the back, simple, and some might call that perfect. Now, I had a couple. Obviously, we're Behind the Steel Curtains, part of SB Nation's network of websites. SB Nation's NFL Twitter page tweeted out our story, and a lot of people said, well, these look like the same uniforms, meaning these weren't Steeler fans. And I had to tell those fans that, you know, this is something Steeler fans have wanted since 97 when the Nike took over and decided to change those numbers from the block numbers, those classic uniforms of the 70s that everyone, you know, when they see those, they think of Swan and Stallworth and Franco and all those Lambert, Mean Joe Green, all those tremendous players. And they want to go back to that. Now, here's my question. And I wrote an article about this on the website. I haven't checked it out. It's a question. It's an article that I didn't have an answer for. Kind of hope. I mirror this situation to that of the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Pittsburgh Penguins back in 90 won back-to-back Stanley Cup championships with Mary Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr. I could go down the list because I'm a huge Pittsburgh sports guy. They had those classic black and yellow uniforms, and all three teams had the same. And then for some reason, I'm not sure what was the tipping point for the Penguins, but prior to Sidney Crosby being drafted, they went to that Vegas gold color. In 2009, they won a Stanley Cup wearing those uniforms, and if you think back to even 2016, when they beat the San Jose Sharks in the Stanley Cup final, they wore those uniforms when they hoisted the cup on the road. But it was that dude, their black and yellow alternate uniforms, or throwbacks, if you want to call them. And it was such a big hit with fans that they wore them at home during the playoffs, and they're now their regular uniforms. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers going to go on the same path? Are they going to debut these block numbered uniforms on October 28th against the Cleveland Browns at Heinz Field? That's when they're already wearing them, by the way. And then are fans going to be so enamored with them that all of a sudden they're like, you know what? We've got it. We got to go. These are just too awesome. Fans love them. They're buying them like crazy. Let's ditch the curve numbers. Let's ditch the lettering. Let's go back to the way it was. Will it happen? I don't know. It's all about the almighty dollar. If they think they'll sell more, then they could possibly do it. But I want to know what you think. Hit me up in the comment section, whether you're on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com or on YouTube. And let me know, do you think they're going to keep these throwbacks, or is this just going to be their once, twice a season? They're only wearing them once this year. Will they do these like they did the Bumblebees and just eventually retire those and go somewhere else? So there was football news outside of uniformized team activities, or OTAs as they're called, continue on. In fact, on Thursday, the Steelers finished 2. They have one more week before the mandatory minicamp, and then once they get to the dog days of summer, folks. The play coach is gone. They're basically preparing for training camp. And so enjoy some news. But unfortunately, not all news is good news. The Steelers, who had avoided the injury bug all OTA, the big one, two players left. Both are considered possibly season-ending injuries. We know one is, as Jake McGee, tight end, that information. But still, Gerald Hawkins, I don't know if it's going to be season ending, if it's going to be an injured reserve thing of it, but I will tell you this, it's the team's depth at offensive tackle. He was supposed to be the swing tackle that Chris Hubbard was last year. And so at some point you have to ask yourself, well, who are they going to put in who played for the tackle a little bit last year, especially with a team against the Browns, or maybe it could be Chucks Okorafor, who's their rookie left tackle from Western Michigan. We'll see. But the injuries were an issue. Now, also, everyone's been talking about attendance. Attendance, who's at OTAs? Who's showing up? Who's not? Why are they there? Why are they not? Le'Veon Bell's not good. But then Ed Bouchette for the Pittsburgh Post wrote an article about how, well, you, if you didn't know this, Ben Roethlisberger hasn't been there, and Antonio Brown. Now, the key would need to be there. They didn't have a rapport with the backup quarterbacks in case something were to happen to Roethlisberger, but that's far down the road. These are organized team activities. But there's been a couple other players, too, that people have seen pictures and videos that they're saying, well, where's Cam Hayward? Where's Juju Smith-Schuster? It was reported today that both of those players are at OTAs, but they're just the on-field portion. They might be nursing minor injuries like a hamstring, a groin, something that you don't want to go and aggravate in a, and let's be honest, a meaningless practice. They're not doing any contact drills. They're not wearing pads. It's nothing but coaching them up, making sure they're ready, mentally getting in the classroom, learning from mistakes, stuff like that. Speaking of coaches, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a team that do not like to chat in all facets. Ownership, coaching staff, players, they like stability. They love stability, in fact. That's more the Steelers' way, that and winning. They were in the coaching staff this year. If you look at the offensive coordinator, Randy Feitner was promoted from quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator. However, he still is holding the role of quarterback's coach. We'll talk about that in a second. Defensive line, John Mitchell goes to just be an assistant, and they get Carl Dunbar to come in. Secondary coach, Tom Bradley comes in for Carnell Lake. Darrell Drake comes in for the retired Richard Mann as the wide receivers. Those are four coaches that are going to be new coaches for the Steelers this year. It's one of those situations where this is very, very rare. And it made me wonder, does coaching matter? Does coaching in the National Football League or really in any professional sport actually matter? And I think it does. And it's not just because I coached at the high school and I've been around some really, really great coaches that have gone on to have great collegiate careers. Matters at all. It comes down to, in my opinion, the are listening. And with that being said, are they receptive to them? Now, everything we've heard from Tom Bradley, and Carl Dunbar on the defensive line and secondary have been outstanding. Offensive players, they like what Fietner's doing in terms of streamlining the playbook, adding some new, bringing it. And then the chocolate, they love Richard Mann. It's bringing a new approach to that. I think it's going to be really interesting to see each season these different positions. I see on the team is this better than they were last year because maybe Tom Bradley is coaching them up differently. Are they keeping the ball in front of them? Are they spotting the ball better in the second? Wide receivers blocking better? They're doing that. Many feet in specific situation. A Reds guy that's going to, is he going to be looking better, which was play in Todd Haley's offense. So it's going to be